I've chosen today the 23rd Psalm, which, believe it or not, we haven't done, but which all of you know. It really isn't all that sad, believe it or not, because I know that people read this at funerals.
Yes, I
found that this is quite customary. I have to tell you, as an Israeli, I've never heard it read in Israel on funerals, and almost exclusively here in America. I think that the only thing that makes them want to do this is because of the word salmavet, the shadow of death. Okay, we won't go there. And there's perhaps other reasons as well. But it is a short little six-verse mizmor. Yaakov Bazak was a member of the Israeli court. He had a hobby, which was the study of Tehillim. He published quite a number of books and countless journal articles about Tehillim. And I found them enlightening. The insight that he's particularly fascinated with is the structure and looking at what he sees as the architecture of these mizmorim. So he points out something really neat, and that is that there are 26 letters up until a certain point, and then a 26 letters right after a certain point. The center point is Ki ata imadi, for you are with me. Now, 26 is very important because 26 is the gematria of Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whether you agree with that or not agree with that, there is no one who disagrees that it is in fact that line, that little line, you are with me, that it is at the heart of what this mizmor is all about. This is the person who throughout his life writes this and says, God has been with me all along. And if you like, based on the Midrashic writings, what we get is where he's been during his lifetime, where he will be after this life. And so they look at the word Veshavti Bevet Hashem Leorech Yamin, not something that you'll do in this world, but something that you will do in the next world, Leolam Haba. And that might explain why people like to read this at funerals. Be that as it may, what you can't miss here is the theme of the shepherd. Now, the status of the shepherd in the Tanakh is ambivalent. On the one hand, our forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, shepherds. Were all shepherds. David says that Hashem took him, brought him out from the pasture to lead his people. Moshe Rabbeinu is chosen because he chooses to run after a little lamb that left the flock and, in a sense, abandons the goal in order to go after a little lamb instead of cutting his losses and just taking care of that and seeing that, as you like, as collateral damage. He won't give up on a single one. Since he won't give up on a single one, the Medrash says, ah, now you've proved yourself to be worthy to lead my people. Amos writes that God has chosen him. He was a rancher of cattle, not sheep. And God had taken him from being leading the cattle to leading Am Yisrael. So there seems to be a very positive image of this kind, to the degree that we often call these pastorals, idyllics. And is seen right later on by the Rousseauians as this unencumbered union with nature, you understand? And as opposed to the corruption of the city and the sophistication of industrial world. On the other hand, the shepherd is the lowliest of the low because he's somebody who doesn't own land and therefore doesn't till the soil. He's landless. And he has to go out to the Hefkel, to the desert, to places where nobody has cultivated in order to provide their food from. He is the wanderer. He is the stateless person. Remember that Avraham comes as a wanderer, leaving his homeland to come to a land which he does not yet possess. And therefore, he is a shepherd. You understand? So the shepherd is also somebody who is a nomad and has no land. And usually that was something that you gave to the poorest of the poor to do. The shepherd also often represented somebody who was unschooled, uncivilized. There is also in the shepherd a life of aloneness. He's out there with his sheep all by himself. And that certainly comes across in all of the stories of David. So, Mizmor le David. Hashem ro'i. Here's the shepherd who says, God is my shepherd. Lo echzar. And since he's my shepherd and I'm just the lamb, lo echzar, I lack for nothing. Why? Binot deshe yarbitzeini. Leharbitz in modern Hebrew means to hit, but rovetz means to crouch down, the way animals do in thick pasture when they get down on their knees and they go to sleep there. So God lays me to rest in oases of grass, like knolls of soft grass. Somebody else, I call, put me to sleep, tuck me in. Almei menuchot yenahaleini, and he leads me to still waters, because a little lamb would have a hard time drinking from a rushing river. But a pool that's quiet would not scare it, you understand? And you will remember, of course, that the Navi came to David after the story of Bathsheba, and describe the poor man who has one little lamb, who he's so attached to, he keeps her warm, holding the lamb in his bosom. You understand? Almost a maternal way. It's not a case of that you're raising these things later on to be eaten. They have these connection, if you like, with those that they take care of. Nafshi yeshovev. And now comes the first difficult word. Mm-hmm. Is that what they treat this?
He restores my soul.
Yeah. When you take that position, you're assuming that the word comes from shuva vanach, which means calm, peace. Okay? But banim shovevim means wild, naughty, lively, jumping up and down, like little lambs that hop all over the place. Did you know that they actually play and they frolic? Does he let me frolic? Letting me play? Which is what some of the Mefarshim want us to understand. Others say, no, no, no. It implies tshuvah, return. Because it says nafshi, my soul, bringing me back. And hence the word restore. Restore means something got messed up. And now you have to bring it back to the way it was. Hence concept of tshuva. Shuva vanachat means not restore. It means to be at peace. When somebody has been in anxiety, when somebody has been under stress, calming me down. So others say it. What would it mean that you would want to yeshovet? My soul should be frolicking? Let me play? Yancheini, another word for leading, but also indicating the word menucha.
Sorry.
And because we use the word shuva vanachat, yancheini is not just to lead, but has an sound, an assonance to the word menucha, at rest. Bemagle tzedek. Now, ma'agalim are pathways. What does it tell you in English, by the way? He guides me.
To lead me in the path of justice.
In the pathways. But you need to understand that it comes from the word agol, in circles. Because when you're looking for food, sometimes you have to climb up the hills. To climb up the hill this way is very difficult, as you may well know. The way we climb up mountains is that you have circuitous roads. To get there, the easiest way is sometimes the longest way. A circuitous road means that sometimes the path from A to B, the shortest one is a straight line. But the straight line might be impossible for somebody who's a weak little lamb. So to be able to get to tzedek, justice, sometimes what you need to do is go off the beaten path, not the straight road, but go roundabout, a roundabout way. And therefore the implication is that sometimes it seemed like God was taking me off the beaten path. It looked like he was misleading me. Things were not going my way. I'm not getting to my goal. What I didn't understand is that he was actually leading me that away. And that away was a better way for me to get to my goal, because there may have been obstacles on the pathways which I could not see. We already talked about the fact that tzedek is the route between justice and mercy. So to get to tzedek, sometimes you need to go a bit of in a roundabout way. And he did all of this, leman shmo, for his name's sake, for the sake of his name. What's his name? Yud-Kei, which is Midas HaRachamim. He did this because he's the God of love. He wouldn't have done this otherwise. Which means that sometimes the Rabbanei Shlom seems to be misleading us or leading us off the way that we wanted to go. I wanted to do this and God put an obstacle in my way, not recognizing that that obstacle, which looked like tzuras, it looked like illness, it looked like something else, was actually meant to get me a roundabout way to the goal where I needed to actually get to, not where I wanted to go to. Where I wanted to go to, I may have actually found myself destroyed. Gam. And now comes that crazy word, gam. Literally, the word gam means also.
Yep.
It also implies, even though, hagam, I know that the word is yet. Even if I should go in the Gai Tzalmavet, a Gai is a narrow gorge. I know they treat the word as valley. That's an emek. A Gai is a place where a lamb easily falls. If you know a little bit about the terrain in Midbar Yehuda, you will know that you can walk on mesas. You can get the same thing if you're in Arizona, by the way. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you look like it's flat land, and you fall right down into a
crevice.
In that crevice, if a lamb should fall, he's beyond help because he can't get himself out of it. What does he see down there? He sees Tzelmavet, the shadow of death. That could mean that he's got a broken leg, he's near death, and he sees the angel of death. But simply, the shadow of death to a lamb is nothing more than a circling buzzard. When they are waiting for somebody to die and just waiting to pick your bones. When you are vulnerable and you feel that this is the time in which the vultures can set in. And all of us have experienced times like that. Lo irara. Don't miss the alliteration. I will fear no
evil.
I'm not afraid. Ki ata imadi, for you're with me. So this is literally down there in the crevice where nobody can get you out. You've gotten yourself into a vise that you can't get out. And the only thing that's hovering over you is the buzzard. I fear no evil. How will the shepherd get him out of the crevice? Shifticha umishanticha. Hema yenachamuni. How do you pull him out of the crevice? That crook of the long staff that the shepherd holds, he wraps around his neck and pulls him out. Getting him out of this tight vise. Or when he is wild and frolicking and getting into trouble, he grabs him and pulls him back in line with the rest of the flock. lest the wolf pick him off, right? That little lamb that wanders off on its own. When they're in the flock, the big ones protect the little ones, making it more difficult for the predators to pick them off. So it looks like you're not letting me play or have my fun. So you've come there and you've done what? Whacked me one. Grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and pulled me in. That same shifticha, that same staff, is also a mish'enet. The Navi describes a vision, an idyllic vision in Yemot HaMashiach, when he will come to the streets of Yerushalayim, seeing zkenim uzkenot yoshvim, seeing old women and old men sitting and umishantam yada, leaning on their canes. Ve'yeladim ve'yeladot mesachakim ben chovoteh, and little girls and little boys playing in the streets of Yerushalayim, seeing the young and the old together, right in the parks. Can you imagine that? That was the vision of Yemot HaMashiach. That would be the wonderful thing. Of course, why not? Because in the destruction, who were the first ones to die? The children and the elderly. So that there were no children and there were no old people. Ditto after the Shoah.
Yeah.
There were no children and there were no old people. So to him, the vision of grandparents and grandchildren and getting old people who are now reached an age where they need to have a cane to lean on was a wonderful vision, seeing old men and old women leaning on their canes in front of little girls and little boys playing in the streets. What a remarkable image of salvation. You understand? Do you see it comes completely from our everyday lives? And you don't understand what a blessing that actually is. So the mish'enet is that the same staff that beat me, that same crook that pulled me in and set me straight, is the same staff that I lean on. Which means that sometimes God's punishments are actually something that we can lean on and help us walk through our lives. Hema, they together. It's not that the shevet and the mishenet are one and the same. The punishment and the support. The hug and the slap. The smol docha, the yamin mikarevet. The left hand that pushed you away and the right hand that embraced you. You have to have that push and pull in a relationship that when you're raising a child. You have to have that same push with the Rabbanu Shlom who raises us. Who's pushing us through life, who's guiding us through life, where sometimes he gives us a touch. And then he hugs us and kisses us. The two of them, yenachamuni. Look at the play. Yancheini, yenachamuni, will comfort me. You see the play on those words? Taruch lefanai shulchan. What? In the desert? So some see this as a story not of defeat, but a story of Am Yisrael in the desert as wanderers, where God set a table before them, providing them with man, with water, with flav, with meat, as if he set a table before you. Neged Sorerai, against my enemies. Why against my enemies? In a sense, to spite my enemies, who said he's going to take them out of the desert to die of hunger, of thirst, of exposure. But if you look carefully, you will see he will yet set a table before me. Is there anything more nurturing than feeding somebody? Is there anything more uplifting that you're not just being fed like from a trough, but you're made to sit at a table? A moment ago he was a chef, he was a sheep led by a shepherd, right? Now he's a human being sitting at a table where somebody sets it in front of him and gives him some dignity like royalty, setting a table before me.
So Rai, you said his enemies. Could it also be like from the Shoah Shetzar, my troubles? So you're setting a table in front of me
Tzarot, Tzorerai, Matzor, the siege, Hainuach. I don't care if the Tzorerai, my enemy, is a human being that's out to pursue me, or if my enemy is cancer. It makes no difference. It's a Tzore. You understand? These are the things that are keeping me and tight. And the reason it's vice, it doesn't let me move on. Dishanta b'shemen hoshi. From a lamb, he's now become king. You've anointed me with oil. He was taken out from the pasture, David. And Shmuel and Navi came and poured oil on him. And kosi revaya. And my cup, my portion, what was given to me, is overflowing. This sense that what I've been given is not only enough to satiate me, it's more than enough. It is also an incredible description of this sensation, the sensation of not only of relief, but such nurturance that you have this sense of being, you know, when your chest kind of like expands, you are overwhelmed, if you like. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. Only goodness, only chesed, love, will pursue me. They pursue me? Ach tov v'chesed pursue me? Some argue that this is a case of irony. The Torah tells us, tzedek, tzedek tildof, pursue justice. Justice you shall pursue. That's what you have to look for. And since he used the word b'magle tzedek, the comeuppance is that he's now pursued by tov v'chesed. But others put it on as follows. Sometimes a person runs away from something, thinking that it's trouble, thinking that it's a disaster. You got fired. Somebody wants your job. Somebody has put out bad words against you and has maligned you. And you see yourself as being persecuted. And what you're not aware of is that it's actually Tov v'chesed that's persecuting you. You think that troubles are coming after you, when actually what you're doing is you're running away because the Ribbono Shel'olam has you. Remember we talked about Magalei Tzedek? Stop going what you're doing. Get off that path. I've got better things in store for you. I've got goodness for you. What looks to you as a surrender, what looks to you as if somebody took away something from you, it's really nothing more than goodness and love that are pursuing you. Kol Yemei Chayai. So that the bad news really wasn't bad news. My shver used to say, with irony that a chosid could say, Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai. All those people that I did good and chesed to, they now persecute me all the days of my life. Because, as we know, how often people give you stones. And you all, I've shared with you the story of Reb Shmuel Salant in Yerushalayim, when people used to come to ask him shailes or ask for his intervention on all kinds of issues in a broche, never mind the fact that they often came to him that he would, you know, they were desperate for tzedakah and people would leave tzedakah with a rov so that he would give it to him. And before they left, he used to have a bowl of little pebbles on the table. And he'd say, oh, before you leave, take a pebble. People thought this was some kind of a segula. You walked around with these little pebbles in your pocket. Somebody find, you know, people put pebbles on the grave. Who knows what kind of segula this is? You walk around with pebbles. Finally, somebody dared ask him, Rebbe, why pebbles? He says, because I know that at the end you'll throw stones at me. At least let them be small ones. Because God, no good deed goes unpunished. You got it. Kol Yemei Chayai. Says Radak. All my life I was pursued by wars, by strife, by jealousy. Please, God, this is a prayer. Have me pursued by acts or opportunities to do good and chesed, that people should come and, you know, hakme and shaynik just for that. Kol Yemei Chayai. And therefore, what will happen? Vishavti bevet Hashem, le'orech yamim, so that I can sit in the house of Hashem le'orech yamim, for long, long days. Some say that orech yamim means le'olam haba. Others say that arichos yamim that we want is actually in an old age, and arichos yamim is a blessing. It's a blessing that indicates that you actually are living to an old age, but not in infirmity, in a healthy good age. That's the brocha of arichos yamim. But what does it mean to live in the house of God, to sit in the house of God? Oh, to some this means to sit in the Bis Medrash and learn all day long. My cousin was in Shidduchim, and he was a tremendous Lamdan. But he also grew up with the sense that you have to have a certain sense of responsibility for having parnasa and not be dependent on others. So when the prospective father-in-law wanted to see if he was worthwhile for his daughter would come, and he would ask, Kena, what are your plans? And he says, you probably want me to say, Veshavti beveit Hashem kol yemei chayai, right? Lo'orech yamim. He says, I have no such intentions. I intend to learn all the days of my life, but I intend to go out and earn a living. And of course, that puzzled him in the eyes of many. Yeah. But we always laughed about that kind of thing, because he would always say, are you intending, you know, to do that? And of course, that usually meant, is the shvel rich enough to keep me in comfort? Veshavti beveit Hashem. Most of our mefoshim didn't think that it was anything of the kind. Shafti b'Beit Hashem, where is Beit Hashem? Where isn't it? Where isn't it? It ends where it begins. Where he said, Ata imadi, you are with me. And therefore, wherever I was, God was with me. And since Hashem ro'i, Beit Hashem is wherever I go. And therefore, I want to have a sense of dveikus, a sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side wherever I am to the length of my days. That's what I look for. And not to feel, chas v'shalom, abandoned. Mm-hmm. Written by a man who essentially said in another place, Avi v'imi azavuni v'ata asaftani, my father and my mother abandoned me. Either they abandoned him because his mother was dead and his father turned his back on him, or because they were dead, but you took me in. When he says, Muzal hayiti le'achai, I was a stranger to my brothers. I was the oddball. And he felt alone. He felt that only one friend that he had in the world, and that was the Ribbono Shel Olam was there. Hashem tzilcha al yad yeminecha. God is your shadow. Right? Not selmavet. Mm-hmm. But God is the shadow standing at my right hand. All he looked for in his life was not to have wars, no longer to need to struggle, no longer to need to fight. All he wants is opportunities to do tov v'chesed v'shavti. So now play on the word shovav, yeshovev, Nafshi yeshovev v'shafti b'Beit Hashem. If you look carefully, you will see what a play on words we have here, over and over and over again. Yancheini yenachameini yeshovev shafti. That incredible play on words makes this, needless to say, dishanta deshe. You see the play on the alliteration, that sense of both me as a shepherd, me as king. The two halves are in the middle, ki ata imadi, for you are with me. Before I became powerful, after I became powerful. Le'orech yamim, some say that you would not have said it unless you meant kol yemei chayai, and therefore le'orech yamim is beyond this world. Kol yemei chayai is in this world.